kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. Joining me as usual, Cole. Cole, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Did I even introduce myself this time, or did I just rush through it that quickly?
Me. I'm the one that matters.
So. You introduce me then. Quick, go ahead.
And this is my host, co-host, partner, dude, Joe, and he does things.
That
and we're going to go now.
Awful.
I know it. It's on par with the quality of the rest of the show.
Very true. Very true.
I was trying to be consistent.
So how's your week been?
Pretty good. My kids are back in school. I have so much free time and I just sleep a lot now.
I've been sleeping a lot too. I don't know why. I don't know if it's like a vitamin D deficiency or if I'm just getting old, but I've been like napping and sleeping long and I really, really like it.
I don't like it. I'm not a napper. And so it bugs me when I do nap, but we're to the point now where I have to get up at 5 a.m. with number one to get her on the bus in the mornings.
5 a.m.
Yeah. And so it's fucking awful.
There's days I don't go to bed by 5 a.m.
That's the problem. I got in the habit over the summer of staying up till like 3 or 4 in the morning. And now I'm just like, 5 a.m., what the fuck am I doing on this side of the clock? And so I did it yesterday, and I got through the whole day without taking a nap. And then I did it today, and I was like, fuck off, and I took a three-hour nap. And then I like spent the rest of the day mad that I took a three-hour nap.
Why get mad? If you get mad about taking a nap, the best way to fix being mad is to just take another nap.
I have a really shitty attitude about naps just because I feel like I have so much shit to do and not enough time to do it. Like, somebody has to fucking do the laundry. I'm not allowed to mop anymore, but somebody has to yell at David to mop. There's just shit that needs done. Somebody's got to yell at David to walk the dogs because I'm not allowed to do that anymore either. So, you know, but I need to be awake to yell at David is what I'm trying to say.
Well, in between yelling, just nap.
Nap. And then be mad I did it.
Hey, whatever works, right?
Right. Do we have any news about games since we're supposed to be a gaming podcast?
I thought you were going to ask how my week was, but fine, whatever.
No,
we'll just jump into the news.
We talked about your week the other day.
We talked about my week last week. This week doesn't matter.
Yeah, but you're already like all settled into your house and stuff now. It's like, okay, well.
Yeah, but I went to a friend's engagement party, and it was fun, and it was an Indian-themed, and there was a lot of dancing, and it was really cool. Yeah.
Okay, tell us more.
No, you don't give a shit, remember?
No.
My friend Kunal, who's been a big supporter of this show since literally day one, he was the original theme song that we had.
Oh, wow.
He is getting married, and instead of having a wedding and a big wedding reception, they instead threw an engagement party, and they're going to have a private wedding, and I was one of, like, three people in our little gaming music community that was invited to this thing, so I felt really, really special. And if, Kunal, if you're listening, thank you for making me and Ashley feel welcome and a part of your family. That was really, really cool, and the event was fucking awesome.
Really?
Yeah, his sister did a nice Indian dance, like actual Indians, like not Native Americans. His brother and his wife did a song together. It was really, really cool. He showed off a video of their trip to, where was it, Venice, where he proposed, and it was really cute and adorable. And the food, people joke about Indian food being spicy. Holy shit, Indian food is spicy. Everything burned my mouth. Literally everything.
But was it delicious?
Some of it. I'm not really a big eater of foreign cuisine.
Really?
Yeah. I'm fat. I need my American shit.
I mean, I'm fat, but I like foreign food. I didn't get fat off of bonbons. I got fat because Chinese food exists.
See, I'm not big into Chinese food. I don't know. I'm just... I don't know. I like my burgers and my fries and my pizzas and...
I actually made Korean barbecue for dinner tonight.
Interesting.
Yeah, like, that's just a thing. Like, in our house, we eat really odd foods from around the world all the time. Which is funny when you consider we're rednecks. I fucking hate soup, beans, and cornbread.
I like soup. I like beans in the right setting. Cornbread, I'm not down with.
Soup, beans, I think it's because I had to eat that shit so much as a kid.
Maybe.
And then I'm just like, fuck off with that.
See, my big food kryptonite, no matter what it's in, is onion.
I cannot
eat onions.
I don't like onions. I have a lot of weird texture aversions with food, which is a shame because, like I said, I'm a huge foodie and I like, you know, global foods. I like to try all kinds of weird, different stuff. But I can't do onions if they're like chopped or whole and cooked or raw. I just like if it's dried minced onion, I'm fine. But once there's actually some texture to that bitch, you can fuck off.
Yeah, like the only thing I could do is onion powder because there's no actual
I like onion powder.
Textured onion.
My kryptonite, and it makes me so sad because my sister makes an amazing one, is meatloaf. I can't handle meatloaf. And my sister makes one, an Asian meatloaf with like soy sauce and hoisin sauce and all the garlic and just all those fantastic Asian flavors.
Hey, but that's a meal. That's not an ingredient.
Well, I know, but like, I can't eat it and it makes me sad.
It'd be like me saying, oh yeah, my kryptonite's lasagna, not ingredients in the lasagna, just lasagna as a whole.
But that's just it. Like, everything else about meatloaf I like. I just can't like the meatloaf once it's a meatloaf. I just can't. I can't do it. I don't know. Like, most of the ingredients I'm fine with. I can't do peppers.
Yeah, me neither.
Like, I love tomato sauce, tomato paste.
I love tomato ingredients, but raw tomato I can't do.
Now, see, you sound like D right there, because he won't eat raw tomatoes neither. And, like, but he'll eat spaghetti sauce and pizza sauce and stuff like that. And I'm sitting there going, that's tomatoes!
Mm-hmm.
But he can't do a raw tomato. I, on the other hand, will sit and eat them fucking things like an apple. I love tomatoes. And I will say, for all of my love of, like, global foods, there is one thing that I have to have. That is redneck to the core. And I actually have some in the fridge right now. Cucumbers soaked in vinegar. Not a pickle. It's different than a pickle because pickles go through the whole boiling process and being canned and soaking in it. This is just, you cut up a cucumber, you put it in vinegar. If you feel real fancy, you put an onion in there for flavor, but I've already discussed my feelings of onions and I don't do that shit. You sprinkle a little black pepper over the top and you let that shit sit in the fridge all day. And then you just...
Yeah, that doesn't sound like my kind of...
That's amazing. I love cucumbers and vinegar. When I first met David, he brought me up to his grandma's, and she had cucumbers and vinegar, and she was like, oh, these are so good, and I love them. And I was like, fuck yes, I'm on par here. I'm with my people. And I took a bite of one of hers, and I just wanted to cry, because she put water in with it.
Ew.
And diluted the vinegar. And I was just like, no, you can't. Mm-mm. So about 2 or 3 months, I stuck it out with David despite that.
That's and, true love, I guess. I don't know.
2 or 3 months later, I come back and I'm visiting with his family. His grandma's like, would you help me make cucumbers and vinegar? And I'm like, oh, yeah, absolutely. I cut them cucumbers up. I put them in a bowl and I just poured the vinegar straight on them bitches. No water.
I like how you mentioned you were going to talk about something redneck as fuck, and Dark Mika's initial thoughts were, I figured she'd mention, like, chewing tobacco or jerky.
I've made deer jerky.
Chewing tobacco is a meal.
I don't do tobacco. I don't smoke. I don't chew.
You don't do your chow?
No, none of that.
Chow.
I am, like... super mega goody two shoes. I just say fuck a lot.
Well, we're about 16 episodes away from you having to get fucked up during a show, so save up your pain meds. I'm telling you, people think I'm joking. Episode 420, that's happening. I don't give a shit.
It is creeping up on us, too.
It's going to happen, and I'm looking forward to it. I like how you are so ready to jump into the news, and here we are with actual conversation.
That's because we fussed about how we get off of on tangents, and it's supposed to be a gaming podcast, and I talk about all kinds of random shit. And so I was trying to be good this week and be like, you want to talk about games? And then we're like, no, we're going to talk about Asian food.
And I was wishing well to my good friend Kunal, who, again, big supporter of the show. Love you, Kunal. Congrats on everything. And do more music for me. Jesus. Been years.
I wouldn't be, you don't know me, but you can totally send me some Indian food and I'd be all over it. And I wouldn't be a whiny bitch and say it was spicy.
Oh, boy. Anyway, we should dive into the news, eh?
Yes.
What the hell was that?
I was taking advantage of the silence for a second and getting a drink.
Ah, gotcha. Big news this week is probably the Super Smash Brothers Ultimate Direct that was held on Thursday, I guess today while we're doing it. But a lot of news was revealed, so I'm just going to go through the email that I got from Nintendo and go through things step by step. First off, new characters were announced. The first one was Simon Belmont from the Castlevania series. And Trevor Belmont is also going to be an Echo Fighter. Echo Fighters are basically like the palette swaps, but they count as their own separate character if you want, which is cool.
I'm listening, but I've never played a Smash, so I'm not familiar. Like, well,
it's like Ken and Ryu in Street Fighter, how they're basically the same character.
But you just swap between them?
Yeah. Okay. That's basically what Echo Fighters are, where they have the same moveset, they just have a different visual appearance.
Okay.
Yeah, and Richter Belmont is going to be an Echo Fighter of Simon Belmont. On top of that, Alucard from Symphony of the Night is going to be an assist trophy in the game, which I'm excited about. Another new character that was announced was King K. Rool from Donkey Kong Country on the Super Nintendo. I am thrilled to see him joining the game. It is awesome that they are actually acknowledging that he exists again after Donkey Kong Country Returns, having nothing to do with King K. Rool or the Kremlings. So kick ass there. Mentioned Echo Fighters. A couple more were announced, with Krom from Fire Emblem series being an Echo Fighter for Roy, and then Dark Samus from Metroid being an Echo Fighter for Samus.
Damn.
They mentioned that the Echo Fighters can either be separately displayed on the character select screen, so you can have a massive roster on display, or you can have them stacked on top of who their primary character is.
So, that's interesting.
Customization, hooray. They mentioned that returning favorites will return as stage-wise. Returning favorites are going to obviously return with visual tweaks and new updated visuals. Going to be a couple of new stages as well. They mentioned Dracula's Castle from Castlevania is going to be a new stage. New Donk City from Mario Odyssey. They say more than 100 stages will be in the game.
That's a fuck ton.
That is a fuck ton. And because they have Battlefield variations and Omega Form variations, more than 300 stages will be available right from the start.
Well, I don't need DLC.
And every stage in the game will support 8-player battles and feature the ability to turn off hazards if you want.
That's insanity.
Which is ridiculous. They mentioned a feature called Stage Morph, where in a Super Smash Bros. First, the Stage Morph option will let players seamlessly transition between two different stages, which I think is pretty neat, because normally every stage has been self-contained, and if there's a way to make it go from one to another, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
They mentioned music. This is going to be ridiculous, but as of now, there are over 900 songs in the game.
It seems like it would be a licensing nightmare.
Apparently, the Castlevania stage alone has 32 songs for it that can play.
Yeah, that's just all there is to it. That's a licensing nightmare. That's when the game gets delisted because they forgot they had a license running out is what's going to happen there.
And the crazy thing is, like, they have characters from so many franchises in the game that it really does feel like a licensing nightmare between all the different Nintendo franchises, Street Fighter, Mega Man, Castlevania, Sonic. It's just ridiculous. Snake,
something,
Metal Gear.
Something is going to go wrong before this game gets launched.
I don't know. It's Nintendo. They always seem to make it work.
This is going to be the first time we hear of a major delay coming out of Nintendo. And they're just going to be like, we're sorry. We lost our accountant in the licensing paperwork. We'll release the game when we can find the accountant.
Yeah. Even better, when playing the game in handheld mode, music can be played while the screen is turned off, turning the system into a portable music player, which is fantastic that you could just listen to that forever.
That's just obscene.
They say there's 28 hours of music in the game. 28 hours. You could listen to songs for an entire day
and
not
still
be
need
done.
More time.
How fucking crazy is that?
What'll be funny though is when it comes out and then the reviewers are like, I just heard the same four songs on loop.
Well, if it's like the other games, they're going to have certain songs that are played more than others, but I know in previous games there was a slider that you can adjust how frequently songs were played. Of course, I put everything to max, that way it's always a different song when you played.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Although it would be neat when you had some that were rarely played, and then you were playing and one of those popped up, just to keep things interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. New items are coming to the game. Obviously, people love the items. They have the banana gun, the killing edge, I can't recall what that's from, the ramblin' evil mushroom, a staff, death scythe, tons more across tons of different game franchises, obviously used offensively and defensively. Pokeballs are returning, clearly. Some of the new Pokemon that you could find in there are Abra, the enormous Alolan Exeggutor. I don't follow Pokemon, so they mean nothing to me. Lunala, Mimikyu. So, new Pokemans in the game, new assist trophies as well, including Zero from Mega Man X, Knuckles from Sonic the Hedgehog, Crystal from Star Fox Adventures, Rathalos from Monster Hunter, the Evil Moon from The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask, and this is what I'm excited about, although it makes me sad he won't be a playable character, Shovel Knight is going to be in the game.
So, if he's not a playable character, what is he?
He's an assist trophy. Those are things, they're basically items that pop up, you throw it on the ground, and some kind of character pops out and helps you in battle.
Oh, okay. I keep hearing the term assist trophy when it comes to this game, and I'm just like, I don't know what this is.
Yeah. And then they also talked about different modes that are in the game, like classic mode, stamina battle, squad strike, tournament mode. There's just so much shit in this game, I don't know what else they could put in it.
I have no idea.
But we're still months away, so obviously there's going to be a couple more surprises.
Ori. They're going to put Ori in it.
That would be incredible, but I don't think it'll happen.
Rivals of Aether got to.
Yeah, but Rivals of Aether wasn't a Nintendo game using a character that appeared on a Microsoft platform.
Nintendo and Microsoft are bros now. They have a bromance.
I still think we might see Banjo-Kazooie show up. I think it's possible. I think if we see any kind of crossover, it's going to be Banjo and Kazooie showing up.
I guess it could happen.
I think it's a lot more realistic than Ori as well, unless Ori shows up on the Switch, which I think technically can happen.
I mean, well, Minecraft did it, anything's possible. Minecraft's Ori, everywhere.
Ori isn't a first-party game, is it?
It's published by Microsoft, yeah.
I mean, we've seen
it's
Microsoft publish games. Yeah.
It's the same kind of setup as Cuphead.
Yeah, I don't think there's any ownership from Microsoft for the franchise.
No, I'm pretty sure it's just we paid for it's like State of Decay was and Cuphead and all those. So they're indies, they were completely developed by the indie studio, and then Microsoft was just like, here, put our name on the front, here's some money. So
Swizzler saying that Microsoft purchased a lot of companies and to check, but I know they didn't buy Moon Studios.
Yeah.
That's one a lot of people were surprised that they didn't buy. I really thought that Moon was going to be first party.
I figured I would have put money on Moon long before Ninja Theory.
Oh, God, yeah. I don't know. Maybe this'll bring Heavenly Sword or a variant of Heavenly Sword to Xbox. That'd be neat, though.
Yeah.
Ninja Theory. Oh, let's see. What other news was there besides Smash Brothers? By Smash Brothers, December 7th, it can't get here soon enough for me. That's for sure. I am so excited for Smash Brothers.
In the meantime,
let's see what other news is there. Cuphead, you brought that up, has officially sold over 3 million copies.
That's pretty damn impressive.
Indeed it is. 3 million.
I don't think those guys got to worry about them second mortgages anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. 3 million units. Crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Speaking of tons of sales, the PlayStation family of consoles and hardware has officially sold over 500 million units.
That's insanely crazy.
Yeah.
That just seems like a fuck ton of consoles.
Yeah, across all generations, hardware models, that's an insane number. To celebrate, they are releasing a special 500 million limited edition PS4 Pro. Priced at $499.99, it comes in a translucent blue shell with matching controller, a camera, a console stand, and one of those shitty mono headsets that they still insist on including in consoles. Yeah. It's like a single earbud. Those are useless.
Thanks for giving us your money. Here's something else to give us your money for.
Yeah. And it includes a 2 terabyte hard drive, which is nice.
Okay.
Will be limited to only 50,000 units worldwide, and each system will have a commemorative copper plate with a serial number etched on it. So they are going all out for this.
Yeah, it sounds like it. There's people that will break their necks for it.
Oh, obviously. Not me, though. I'm good with mine. So
I don't have one. I don't need one. I'm cool with that.
One thing I might jump on is the controller is going to be sold separately for $64.99, which I might jump on because I could use a second controller. And also their gold wireless headset will be available in the blue design as well for $99.99 if you were looking for a new headset.
Will it work with the Xbox?
I believe if you use the cord that's included to make it wired, I believe it does work. Can't use it wirelessly, though, obviously.
Yeah.
Since you would need the whole Microsoft wireless whatever patent that they have.
I didn't even know. I just assumed if it's 3.5 millimeter jack, then you could plug it in.
Yeah, I have a gold headset around here somewhere from PlayStation. I haven't touched it in years, but I'm pretty sure it works as long as you have the cord.
That's interesting. That's all I was curious about.
Yeah.
I don't ever go to the PlayStation aisle.
Yeah, I visit it every now and then. Gotta find something new to use on it. Game Pass fans have something to rejoice as Doom is being added to Game Pass August 10th. So by the time people hear this, it is part of Game Pass.
Nice. I didn't know that was coming.
Yeah, just someone got an email about it today and shared it on Reddit and Doom added to Game Pass. So cool beans.
Huh. That's exciting. That's one I wanted to try. I played the beta and I didn't get the actual game. So,
well, now you have your chance.
Yay.
Since Doom is somewhat related to Wolfenstein, this is some interesting news. Germany has lifted its ban on swastikas in video games. What do you think of that?
I kind of have mixed feelings about that.
In what way?
Because I find that Germany's strict regulations against showing Nazi memorabilia, I just find it really respectable. Like, they know that's a shitty part of their history, they teach it as a shitty part of their history, and they don't want to glorify it in any kind of way. And just, I can be on board with that.
I don't think that in games like Wolfenstein, I don't think that glorifies it.
I don't think it glorifies it. So, in a way, it's like, hooray, you know, cut out censorship in gaming, because I'm not a big fan of censorship anyway. But And that's, like I said, that's why I'm at the mixed signal thing on it, because I just don't, I like that they do that, but I don't like censorship, but it's a complicated situation with some gray area.
Yeah.
You know, I just, I'm not like angry one way or the other, or overjoyed one way or the other. All I know is fuck Nazis. So
yeah, pretty much. At least now games don't have to be censored by removing imagery,
right,
that's essential to a story. Like, Wolfenstein without zombies just feels pointless.
Wolfenstein has zombies in it?
Or without, not, what the hell am I saying?
You just threw my whole world up. What are we talking about now?
I've had a long day. Wolfenstein without Nazis feels pointless.
Did they censor the whole they're Nazis thing, though, or was it just... Really?
Yeah, they're like the regime or something.
Oh. Well, then it's a little better that...
Yeah.
Because in a way, it shows fuck Nazis, so yeah. I'm a little more on board now.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand not liking the imagery, because it's obviously an evil, evil part of history. But I think just trying to whitewash it and ignore it is bad. You have to acknowledge that it happened.
Yeah.
It's like what we're facing in America. People try to ignore what happened, and now we're starting to relive it.
Yeah. But the plus side is that Germany's school system is far better about teaching that than we have here in America.
No.
Like, they get drilled into them from a very early age. The Holocaust was real. The Holocaust was awful. We ain't doing that shit again. Whereas here, we're just like, you know, we have Nazis.
Rebel flag, motherfucker.
And so it's very different culture. So in a way, I don't feel like it's as severe when they put their foot down and be like, we don't want any of that around. Because it's not like they gloss over it and don't teach it. So
no. It's just, like, when did we get to the point in America where Nazis, to some people, are okay? Like, how does your brain ever think that what they did and what they stand for is in any way okay?
I don't know.
What the fuck, people?
I could go off on tangents for days on this topic. Because I just don't understand how we got to this place as a country where
ignorance and stupidity.
But we've,
that's all.
How do we get to a point, though, where we criticize intellectualism so severely that those ideas can take root again?
I don't know.
And why?
It is stupid.
Like, there were people when Wolfenstein came out who were pissed over the fuck Nazis.
I know, seriously, like...
the marketing campaign of fuck Nazis, which should just be, like, your basic safe zone for bad guys.
And I like that they came out and were like, if you have a problem with our fuck Nazis mindset and slogan, please don't buy our game. We don't want you to have it.
Yeah.
Because fuck Nazis.
But, like, people were legitimately mad.
Fuck them.
Do you know why Nazi zombies in Call of Duty are Nazis?
So you can murder them?
Because you don't feel bad about murdering Nazis. You don't feel bad about punching Nazis. They're Nazis. They did bad things. They are, on the gray scale of morality, Nazis are permanently black. And it's okay to be like, fuck those guys.
I feel worse about killing zombies than I do about killing Nazis.
Right. Because the zombies didn't ask to be brought back.
Yeah. The Nazis, fuck them.
But they made a choice to be assholes.
Yeah.
Boy, did we dive off the deep end.
Just a little. Last bit of news I have is that three games were added to the Xbox backward compatibility list this week, with Earth Defense 2025... Sign Mora, which it's cool to see that considering it gotten re-release. And this one has been rumored for a couple of weeks, but Prince of Persia.
I'm glad to see that one actually went back compat.
I mean, we knew it was happening.
I thought the rumors were for a remaster there for a little while.
No, the rumor was that
it was all someone, just back and forth.
No, someone bought a copy of the game, a 360 copy of the game in Xbox One packaging.
Right. I forgot about them changing that packaging.
Yeah. He's like, why can't I play this yet? It says playable on Xbox One. Well, guess what, buddy? Now you can.
Yeah. You didn't waste all your money.
Yeah. Dark Mika trying to give us news that Spyro is only going to have one of the three games on the disc.
Didn't we talk about that last week?
Yeah, someone doesn't listen to the show, because we discussed that last week, Dark Mika.
Spoiler alert, I'm still unfazed.
I'm still buying digital, so it doesn't bother me. But yeah, that's the news I got. Any news on your end?
Shit, what was it? I even mentioned Ninja Theory earlier. It was about Hellblade. Oh, out of the million copies that Hellblade sold, only about 100,000 have been on Xbox. The rest were PC and PS4.
Well, it came out how much later on Xbox?
Yeah, that was... Well, it was supposed to be over the same three-month period or whatever. But that was how many they sold compared to 3 months on PlayStation and Xbox. Or PlayStation and PC. That it was still, like, way underperformed. And Twitter was having a field day. The Twitter echo chamber is a dangerous, dangerous place.
Yeah, it is.
But they were having a field day, you know, trying to say that this was evidence that single-player games can't survive on Xbox. And that Ninja Theory's in trouble having been bought by Xbox.
No, again, the problem is it was released how much earlier on PlayStation and PC? They could compare the first... They could compare the first 3 months on PlayStation to the first 3 months on Xbox, and it's still going to look bad because it has been out for a year on other platforms.
I think something to consider is that we didn't think we were going to ever get Hellblade on Xbox.
Yeah.
Ever. It was just totally like, that's a PlayStation thing, rip us. And so if you think about how many people have a PlayStation and an Xbox... Or an Xbox and a PC that can play it. It's incredibly possible they bought it on one of the other systems and just don't want to double dip it.
Yeah.
No matter how goddamn good it is on Xbox. Like, I don't think a game that was a year old by the time it launched on Xbox is indicative of what Xbox gamers want.
Yeah.
I think it's
just one more instance of people looking for ways to shit on Xbox.
I don't understand the whole argument that's kind of taken hold that Xbox is only for multiplayer players. And I say that as somebody who plays a lot of multiplayer. I rag on this show all the time that I want more multiplayer in indies. I like to play online co-op, but I like stories and I like narratives and I like to just get lost. And I don't understand why there is such a mental disconnect that people can want both things in a game.
People are stupid. We just covered this with the Nazi thing. People are stupid.
I know. I like to try to give people the benefit of the doubt. I'm a hopeless optimistic.
Yeah, too many stupid people won't let you.
That's true.
Yeah. But,
that's all I had.
Any other news?
Nope. That's it.
Cool. You ready to start doing reviews?
Yes.
All right, first game to talk about is called Dead Cells, developed and published by Motion Twin, released August 7th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and out of early access on PC for $24.99. Dead Cells is a roguelite Metroidvania-inspired action platformer. You'll explore a sprawling, ever-changing castle, assuming you're able to fight your way past its keepers in 2D Souls-like combat. No checkpoints. Kill, die, learn, repeat. That covers basically everything about the game.
Okay, so what do you think?
I think the game is fucking incredible. You start off in a prison, and you have to escape this castle, kill the bosses, if you're able to. A lot of this comes down to if you're able to. The combat here, despite being a 2D action Metroidvania-style game, feels very much like a Souls game, where there's a lot more focus on dodging and taking your time with attacks than just button mashing. Health recovery in this game, every now and then you might find like wall meat like you'll find in Castlevania, or an enemy might drop a piece of meat that'll help you out, or you might come across like a jail cell that has an abandoned piece of food waiting around. But health recovery is very, very minimal in this game. And that makes it so much more difficult than any other standard Metroidvania game. Enemies, when they hit you, take off fairly large chunks of your health, even as you progress in levels, which enemies don't give you experience. All of your level building comes from finding different scrolls that you can find throughout the areas. You can boost your brutality, your survival, or a third one, which I forget because I never pick it. It's basically red is brutality, which are your melee weapons. Green is survival, and purple is whatever the fuck that one is, but it deals a lot with like traps and spells. And I didn't really mess with that stuff too much because I'd rather hack and slash. Every time you collect one of those scrolls, it gives you a health bump as well as a stat boost to the damage of one of those three colored items. Melee weapons are, I already said melee weapons are going to be red, but yeah, I focused on melee because that's the kind of gamer I am. Every time you play, the castle layout is completely randomized, completely different, branching paths everywhere. Oh man, it is rough to try getting through your first couple of runs. You are going to die frequently when you start off, and you're meant to die because, again, roguelite, though repeated playing, there are unlocks in the game. As you kill enemies, they will drop cells, which you can collect in between levels. Once you get to an exit area, you'll come to like a little sanctuary style hub where you can spend those cells towards unlocking different things. Like, if you find a weapon blueprint that you can unlock for future runs, you can unlock a health flask, which was obviously the first thing I went for. So when you're low on health, you can hold the button and refill part of your health. You can use your cells to unlock an extra health flask or yet another extra health flask. I'm sure you could see where my cells have gone during my time in this game. You can unlock different starting weapons, randomized starting weapons, the ability to carry money over from game to game, which money can be used. There's a shopkeeper that you'll find every now and then, or there are sometimes money doors where there's going to be an item or even a level up scroll behind this door, but you have to pay to unlock it. Yeah, you know, hopefully you have enough to get in there and get it. There's also an ability where if you find an item you don't really want, you could hold the button on it, and instead of picking it up, you recycle it and get money for it instead, which is neat.
Yeah.
Man, this game is so goddamn fun. I'm sitting here wishing I was playing it. Disclaimer, I am terrible at this game. I've gotten to two different bosses. One I got to three times, one I got to only once. The one in the toxic sewers wrecked me in about 3 seconds.
It seems like everybody that I've heard play this game or seen play it has said that the toxic sewers is just ungodly difficult.
Oh my god. The boss, when I fought, I don't know if this is a mini boss, I don't know if this is a normal boss, but as soon as he started, it was just constant attacks, just swipe, 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 swipe. And I didn't know how to avoid it. By the way, thanks Latino Heat for dropping a couple of biddies in our chat room. You are appreciated. We love you. The other boss I got to was like the third stage in, I think it was. There was the starting level, the promenade, the one after that, and then the fourth. It was on the fourth stage, was I think a true real boss. And I was doing so good. I got his health down halfway. I was feeling really, really good halfway. And then he one-shotted me. One shot. Just one shot, and I was dead. And it hurt my soul. I was crushed. Just, I wanted to cry. And,
that's how these kind of games go, though.
Thanks to Vertically Impaired for gifting you a sub.
Yay! Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. You're the best. But yeah, this is a tough, tough game. If you're a fan of Metroidvania games and roguelites, this is easily the best roguelite game I have played since Rogue Legacy.
Wow.
It is absurdly difficult. I don't know if I will ever actually beat the game. I'm going to keep trying. I've put about, I don't know, 25 runs into the game so far, and it has just kicked my ass. Yeah, Tony, we're talking about Dead Cells. I know you're good at the game. I'm not. But if you got the $25 asking price, it does feel a little bit steep. But I guess that's just the nature of games these days. They're getting more and more expensive. I think the content is there. The quality is there. The animations are legit. The music is fantastic. Overall, it is a fantastic game, worthwhile of the $24.99 price tag, and I absolutely say buy it. If you are not a fan of Metroidvania games, this one might actually change your mind.
Wow.
Because it's just so different in its combat. You have to be patient with the combat in this game, but otherwise, fuck, it is awesome. I love it.
Interesting.
Yeah, really, really good stuff.
I haven't heard anybody say they don't like Dead Cells yet.
Yeah, even the guy from IGN who stole his review from someone else gave it a good review. Did you hear about that?
It was Dead Cells, wasn't it, that he was reviewing? I heard bits and pieces.
Someone from IGN, I don't know if he was a freelancer or what, but stole chunks of his review from some indie game reviewer, and shit went crazy online. That was quite a whirlwind.
We don't need shit like that. Reviewers get a hard enough time as it is.
Yeah. I'm too lazy to steal my content.
Right.
And if you can't tell by our rambling that we just do this off the top of our heads.
I do have notes, but it's still, I just fly by the seat of my pants.
Yeah. Speaking of, it's your turn with Flipping Death, developed and published by Zoink Games, released August 7th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $19.99. Welcome to Flatwood Peaks, a small whimsical town with a problem. Death is on vacation. Play as Penny and help trap ghosts with your trusted scythe. Flip the entire world around to solve puzzles on both the living and the dead side and slowly uncover the mystery surrounding your own demise. Cole, tell us about it.
I love this game. That's what I'm going to tell you.
So we got two winners in a row.
Oh my gosh. You know how I've said in the past, like I have every week, I tend to pick one game that I just really attach to and love a little more than the others.
Mm-hmm.
This one kind of washed everything away from me this week. And I was just like, be right back playing more Flipping Death. I just loved it that much. It's from Zoink. So it's got that same quirky, surreal art style that we've seen in, like, Stick It to the Man and Zombie Vikings. You will definitely recognize that art style as soon as you see it. You're like, oh, yeah, this. I'm on board. It starts off, you know, simple enough. You play as Penny. She's had a bad day working at the funeral home, so she loses her job. She goes out with her boyfriend, hopes to make a little kissy face at the cemetery to make herself feel better, and shit goes wrong, and Penny dies.
No!
Spoiler alert, that's the prologue. So Penny dies, and she gets sent to the afterlife as a ghost, where she meets Death. And Death thinks that Penny is the temp that he's been waiting for 18,000 years to be sent up from hell. Because when she died, Penny was wearing fake demon ears, like the little demon horn headband. So he thinks she's a demon who's finally come to let him take a little vacation time. So Death gives her all of his shit and takes off for the moon because that's the only place where people don't die. So that's where he's going for vacation. And it's now up to Penny to take her new role in the afterlife and try to help restless souls so that they can cross over to the other side. Some of these souls have a pretty interesting stories. That's a good way to take it. You may be solving a murder for one. You may just be trying to help some old knights get unstuck from a whale's blowhole for another. It's very erratic and eccentric, but it's wonderful. And yet, even with how all over the place all the different stories for the ghosts are, it all culminates together to tell Penny's story. It's exceptional writing. It's been so much fun. For gameplay, the way that it is handled is that, as Penny, you can, it's 2D, and the worlds are, there's the afterlife and then there's regular life. And you can flip between those two worlds with Penny by possessing the people that are still alive. So when you're in the afterlife and there's somebody that you can possess, you can kind of see their aura. And you can walk up to them, hold Y. Penny will possess them if you've got enough of the, like, the little souls that are necessary that you can collect just floating around. You collect those, possess whoever's on the other side that you want to control. And then each person that you can possess, once you're with that person in the real world or you know, the living, you can use them for something to manipulate the world in one way or another. Everybody has their own special usage. For example, there's the poke man. And if you possess the poke man, you can just use him to go around and randomly poke things in the world. Just poke.
Nice.
And, or there's Tina, who has a bit of an oral fixation. She's originally, you meet her when she's at the dentist getting her braces tightened. And, she just really likes to chew on things. So you can use her to bite people or, or to chew bubble gum, which then lets her float if she blows a big enough bubble. You can take over a seagull and just spend your whole day flying around the town pooping on people. Just because you can. It's amazing.
Oh my god.
So the game breaks down into chapters. There's a prologue. I think there's six or seven chapters. And each chapter will have a main set of goals that you need to accomplish so that you can progress the story. But there's also some challenges as well. If you complete the challenges, you'll get some ghost cards, which gives you a little more backstory on all of the individual characters. And I don't want to start slipping into spoiler territory, so I'm trying to watch what I say. But it's just an incredible game. It's so well designed. I didn't have any problems with it, even with the fact that it's a puzzler. Like, they don't want you to get stuck. You can click start and there are hints right there. And if you've already done that item, it's just grayed out and it's not an issue. So whatever you're missing and you're stuck on, there's a hint right there. Push the button, go. Figure it out. And I just never felt like I was stuck or like I couldn't progress. I just had fun. And it was so quirky and weird and delightful in every way.
And beautiful.
And it's so pretty.
I will always love Zoink's visual style.
Yeah. It's very recognizable. But that's not a bad thing at all. Like, as soon as you see it, you're just like, yeah.
Like, oh, those guys did Stick It to the Man in Zombie Vikings. Yeah, that looks right.
I didn't play Stick It to the Man. And so I everybody was like, oh, it looks like Stick It to the Man. And I'm like, what? No, it looks like Zombie Vikings. Because that was the one I knew.
Well, let me tell you, you're both correct. But overall, $20 on this one. What do you think of it?
This is an absolute buy it. If you like any kind of puzzle games whatsoever, even if you don't even like puzzle games, but you like a good narrative and you're willing to put up with the hints, do it anyway. Buy it. Play it. Have fun. Because it's such a good, quirky game.
Sounds good. Nothing else?
Nope.
Okay.
Carry on.
Next game to talk about is called Unavowed, developed and published by Wadjet Eye Games, released August 8th on Steam for $14.99. A demon has possessed you and used your body to tear a swath of bloodshed through New York. You are now free, but life as you know it is over. Your only path forward is joining the Unavowed, an ancient society dedicated to stopping evil, no matter what the cost. Dark Mika covered this one, wrote in a review, and here's what she's got to say. Unavowed is a point-and-click adventure game. Your character is self-named, and you get to choose between male or female. I haven't noticed the difference between male and female choices yet. I think maybe some of the characters might react to you more or less positively based on your chosen sex, but I'm not too sure. You also choose what job you do between a cop, actor, or bartender. Choosing your previous occupation gives you a quick little prologue to play, and later in the game determines how you solve problems and who you even interact with in some cases. Overall story and look to the game is very noir, which I like. The story is that you get a book from someone, which changes based on your job, and immediately you're taken over by a demon and you kill the person who gave you the book and everyone in the general vicinity. Holy shit.
That escalated quickly.
Just a bit. At some point, you end up on the roof of some random building getting exercised in the rain via a guy hitting you in the chest with electric bolts, because, you know, that's safe. This is also the opening of the game. Oh my god, what a beginning. This is when you get to name yourself and pick your sex and class, which sets you up with the prologue where you get the book. After this, the demon is freed from you, but not contained or destroyed. It escapes. Now you're offered to become part of the Unavowed, a group that protects humanity from monsters. Game is made up of a bunch of missions. Each day you do a mission, basically. Each mission is something weird happening or is happening somewhere, so you go there. It always has something to do with your past while you're under control of the demon. It's up to you to figure out what you can, solve the issue that's there, and go back and report it to the djinn that runs the office of the Unavowed. So you get to do a number of missions that all tie together, but are also their own unique thing. I like this aspect because it kind of feels like you're doing side quests, but it's really the main quest. I know that sounds weird, but I like RPGs and I do every side quest, so yeah. I really like how the game changes based on your job. A cop naturally holds themselves different than, let's say, a bartender, and there's different type of personality between the two and the like. Because of this, people interact with you different. There are things you can do and can't do between different job types. For instance, in the first mission, I think it was, you have to enter a burnt down building. Now, as a cop, you can simply show your badge, tell a bold-faced lie, and get in. None of the other characters have a badge, nor do they hold themselves like cops, so they find their own unique way to deal with that issue. The story doesn't change much between them, but how they deal with all the issues in the individual missions changes significantly. There's also extra characters you obtain in the game, and you get to choose two characters to bring with you during a mission. Each have their own abilities, which also impacts how to get through each of the missions. Unavowed is on Steam for $15. It's decently sized, and I think you should probably play through it 3 times, at least once with each class. Between sexes doesn't really matter much, but each playthrough provides extra tiny tidbits of information that help flesh out the overall story. Also, using different companion characters changes things up too. There's a lot of replay value in this, and the game is also fairly lengthy on top of that. So yeah, I think it's worth it. Everyone seems to like point and click, and this is a noir supernatural thriller, so who doesn't love that concept? So yeah, go get it now, as in right now, as in pause the podcast and get it right now. I don't know about pausing the podcast. Podcast so good that Swizzlers just dropped 50 bits on us.
Yay!
Hooray. Thank you. But yeah, that one sounds pretty awesome.
Yes, it does. Now I need it on Xbox so I can play it.
Hey, Wadjet, if you're listening, console, please? Okay, please? Super please? Next game to talk about is called Jump Gunners, developed and published by Nerd Rage Studios, which seems to fit our show perfectly, because we are nerds who rage. Released August 3rd on Xbox One for $12.99, Jump Gunners is the definitive couch combat game for 1-4 players, matching fast-paced, hilarious recoil jumping mechanics with core gameplay that is easy to learn but hard to master. Become the champion among friends as you fight alone or team up together against your foes. Cole, tell us about this one.
So, wow, the summary kind of nailed it. There's not much more beyond that. It really is just, it's kind of in the same vein of like, what's that Neo Geo game? Metal Slug? Mm-hmm. That's what it reminded me of, but a little more pixely, because it's got more of like the 8-bit look. You can play solo. I want to get that out there first. You can play the game solo. When I first started it up, I didn't think I could play it solo.
Single player challenges to do?
Yeah. Single player plays out like challenges. There's tons of different levels. And then they've each got like a layout of targets. The plus side to playing solo is that it makes you a little better when you do dive into playing with a friend. Because you have to learn to control your character. You have the ability to jump and double jump, but you also have the ability to gun jump. I don't think anybody saw that coming.
Not at all.
Wherein you can point your gun any direction, realistically, and fire, and the kickback, the recoil from the weapon will send you flying backward. So, if you're playing solo, some of these levels may have spikes or other obstacles, landmines, what have you, and you have to figure out how to use the jump with firing your weapon to get through like these long ass corridors of spikes that will fuck your world. It can be really difficult, but once you actually succeed and you get the hang of like maneuvering your character this way, it's really satisfying. You're just like, oh, I did that. I'm the best. And then you complete the level by taking out all the targets and it laughs at you and tells you that you can't have a star because you did that. So each of the challenges has 3 stars. And they are based on how many times you die, how fast you complete the challenge, and how many grenades or shots it took you to do it. So if you take too many shots, need too many grenades, you don't get the star. You die too many times, fuck you, no star, do it again.
That's me. That was me playing this game. Oh my god, I am bad at this game.
I don't even want to talk about how many times I got to a challenge and I was so proud of myself for completing it in what I thought was a really quick time. And then I look and I'm 0.2 seconds from the star.
Oh, God.
At and least, I'm just like, fuck this.
At least some of those times feel attainable, unlike Z-Access, where every time you were like, what kind of savant gets right. a time like this?
Right. So there were some where I was like, this is incredibly hard, but also I'm old and arthritic. So, of course, it was a little harder for me than it would be for a normal person who could probably just do that shit.
I don't know. I'm a normal person, and I couldn't do that shit. My brain just was not working with this game.
Do you know what mode I liked better than the challenges, though, that I could play simply?
Turkey Hunt.
I fucking love Turkey Hunt.
Turkey Hunt was the shit.
So Turkey Hunt is a ripoff of the old school Duck Hunt, obviously.
An homage, not a ripoff, an homage.
Okay.
Let's be fair.
I don't think saying it's a rip at something is as bad as saying. But okay, we'll go with it. It's an homage to the old school Duck Hunt, but you have turkeys. There are some quirks to it, though. There's only 2 turkeys, and you only have 3 bullets. So with every round, you get a point for every turkey that you drop, and each round, it gets faster. So you kill both turkeys, do it again, quicker this time. Don't miss. If you use up all 3 rounds and you don't kill the turkeys, you don't get the points and you get a fail. Fail 3 times, game over, and a monkey pumps out of the bush and laughs at you. That bitch.
Fucking monkey.
But I did have an absolute blast with Turkey Hunt. I think I lost entirely too much time to that mode and I can't even justify it. If you are playing local multiplayer, there's no online, it's local only. You have a couple different game modes. There's Team Deathmatch, Last Man Standing, Capture the Flag. You're not going to be looking for things to do. Like, you have plenty of options here. There's a shit ton of levels. If you don't have friends to play with you, turn on AI bots. They will fuck your world and you will lose. But they're an option. So, you know, if you're going to play the versus mode with bots, make sure you've completed the challenges first, because that's your only hope.
That's your training.
They will fuck you up if you don't know how to do that jump and stuff. There are some quirks to it where, depending on where you spawn randomly in the level, you might just be able to fire once and kill everybody and win. Or you might jump backward and then be like, oh shit, and you land in the water and you die and you're out of it and the AI kicks your ass. The way that multiplayer challenges, at least for TDM, are like racked up is, when you win, you get a bullet. And then the first one to, I think it was 5 bullets, is the winner overall. So these matches can take a good little chunk of time if actively avoiding those AI bots or whoever you're playing with. But if you're in a case where it's just loading in fast and everybody's getting popped really quickly, or they're doing something dumb and standing next to a barrel and getting blown the fuck up, you're going to run through a match a little quicker.
Nice.
All in all, it plays really well and it's a lot of fun, but I think the difficulty can throw people off.
Oh yeah.
If you don't have some hardcore reaction time, or you're not willing to sit and repeat those challenges until you actually get good at controlling yourself while jumping and firing your weapon at the same time, you're going to be really frustrated.
But overall, then, for the asking price of $13, what do you think of it?
I do give it a solid try it. It's not going to be for everybody. It's going to be too difficult for a lot of people, but it is a good time. And if you've got friends to play with, you're going to have a laugh.
You know, if you still have friends after you're done playing.
That's a different story. We don't care what happens after you play. Do you have somebody to start it with you?
Very true. Yeah, I agree. A lot of content in the game, lots to do. As long as your fingers could get used to what they have to do to play the game, you're going to have a good time.
Nice.
All right, next game to talk about is called Assemblance, developed and published by Nilo Studios, released July 30th on Xbox One, PS4, and Steam for $7.99. You wake to find yourself trapped inside an experimental machine, a machine built to simulate memories. You no longer recall why you entered, but an AI voice guides you. Trying to escape, you must face memories from a past you may not want to remember. Dark Mika covered this one as well, and here's what she's got to say. Assemblance is a walking sim with some mild puzzles for achievements, though the puzzles aren't really needed to beat the game itself. You play as a person trapped inside a room that has a simulator in it. The simulator simulates memories. Well, I guess that's what a simulator does, is it simulates things. You're not sure whose memories they belong to, or even who you yourself are. However, there's an AI that talks to you and gives you tiny tidbits of story, all of which is vague. You go through memories to unlock new ones. Eventually, there's some mild puzzle concepts to get more story insight. But even then, it's still really vague. By finding these extra story bits, you do find out who the memories belong to and who you supposedly are. However, you never figure out why you were in there or some of the things that the AI talks about, which was done on purpose since there's now a sequel. I guess we know why we're covering this first one, huh? Eh?
Mm-hmm.
Visually, it's really pretty. It's not super realistic, but instead it's all vibrant. At least the places that should be. Every simulation in the room itself, they all have color schemes that fit them really well, and they just look really good. Audio is mostly sounds you might find in areas you're in. There's a bit of music as well. It's all really nice. Game is on Xbox One, PS4, and Steam, and it's $8 on each. Game's 1 to 2 hours long. Closer to the former if you're just beating it. Closer to the latter if you're trying to find every tiny bit of story there is in it. I think it's totally worth it for that much, for sure. It's a fairly surreal game, and I like those. I also love walking sims. It's fairly easy, so I think everyone would enjoy this. Sounds good.
Sounds good to me.
Which leads to Assemblance Oversight, developed and published by Nilo Studios. This one came out August 3rd on Xbox One, PS4 for $9.99. Assemblance Oversight is a first-person exploration and puzzle-based game. You're part of a team of scientists and engineers charged with using a classified technology to aid in recreating the human mind. I love how Dark Mika mutes her stream when we're doing her reviews because she doesn't want to hear hers. My concern, or my question is, if she's muting her stream, how does she know to unmute?
That's a good question. I've asked that myself.
I think she's lying. I think she's listening, and she enjoys hearing her words being read. Or at least me struggling to read some of her sentences. Anyway, here's what she's got to say. Assemblance Oversight is a walking sim set in a surreal world. It's the second Assemblance game, and it seems to follow someone else rather than the individual from the first game. But again, it's hard to be sure because everything is rather vague in both games. But the premise is the same in each, still with a holographic memory simulator. You could think Star Trek's Holodeck or X-Men's Danger Room. You find things in different memories that unlock new memories. The game tells you most of this story through optional puzzles and extra endings instead of during the normal game. In this game, you seem to be seeing fragments of memories, but these don't seem to be as personal as they were in the first game. Instead, they seem to be more business-related. Unlocking areas is done about the same way. Story is still mostly spelt out by playing through the extra bits that aren't needed to finish the game, but these are attached to puzzles that are so, so much goddamn harder. A lot of O's in that so as well. I'll readily admit I found 4 or 5 of the 12-ish endings on my own. I needed all the rest of them told to me. Some of the puzzles require you actually doing stuff on the internet and requires you to understand a significant amount of code breaking than I even come close to remotely knowing. It's really pretty. There's a concept in both games called shifting. They shift everything to a hue of a color, which depends on the shift you do. For example, if you blue shift, everything has a blue hue to it. The first game has normal view and then 3 extra shifts. This one has those and another 8 or so. They change the environments to a very small degree. However, many of these make everything look really cool. The game is on Xbox One, PS4, and Steam, and it's $10 on each. The game is around an hour long if you're just running through and finding what little bit of primary playthrough will give. If you're trying to get all the story bits, you're looking around 2 to 3 hours with a text walkthrough. If you're trying to figure out yourself, good luck. I can't even fathom how long it will take you. Wow. It's a bit harder to suggest to people than the first one since these puzzles are so much harder. It also felt a lot more surreal and vague. Because of that, it didn't feel like there was much story. I think it's beautiful and I think it's fairly fun until you get to the super hard puzzles, which you don't technically need to play. So I think if you liked the first game but thought it was easy, this is definitely for you. However, everyone else, try the first game first. If that's up your alley, go for this one. It's a good game, but only if you really enjoyed the first. Good stuff. I picked up the first one on sale. I gotta play these two. They sound really cool.
They're supposedly easy gamer score.
So did you get them and complete them?
No.
What? You're slipping.
I know.
Oh, man. Next game to talk about is called Dolings Arcade, developed and published by Hero Concept, released August 3rd on Xbox One for $6.99. Dolings brings unique gameplay mechanics through its interesting characters and world while combining together the best that all known Brick Breaker games have to offer, polished with a modern look and design. Cole, what is Dolings Arcade?
So it's Brick Breaker. But with little dough creatures. apparently, I can't remember his name.
I don't remember any of the names
either. I don't remember his name! So, Doling that you play with to start off with, he's kind of a mad scientist, and he's created this cure for this disease that has made all the other Dolings, assholes, basically. Raging, vicious, horrible assholes. And so he's trying to make everybody healthy again. And so he does this in a game of Brick Breaker, in that he's got the cure in the balls, and instead of bricks, you have little Doling faces moving down from the top of the screen, and you're trying to hit the ball into them. They're all kinds of different colors, blue, green, yellow, red. As you get them closer to healthier, then they eventually turn pink. So that when they're pink, they're healthy, they go poof, and they're gone. They're not a problem anymore. There's a couple different games kind of blended in here, though. It's not pure Brick Breaker, if you will. You're not just hit it once, break it, gone. You have to hit some of the different colors 3 or 4 times. And if you manage to angle your ball around and bounce it off the wall to the point that, like, you create, like, a pinnacle and then you knock that pinnacle down, any Dolings that are no longer attached to another Doling will just fall down the screen. They don't hang.
Kind of like in Puzzle Bobble or in Bust-A-Move.
Yeah, Adventure Pop, I think, did that as well. Like if you play mobile games, Bubble Witch Saga did that. It's something we've seen before, but it's a good way to kind of just clear out everything. Run the risk of having the Dolings run down on you and close in the gap, but if you can make those sharp angled dots, you're going to be okay. There's a couple of quirks to the gameplay. When you're trying to make those sharp angled shots, you can move with the D-pad and you can move with the analog stick, but even moving with the D-pad, it's kind of difficult to fine-tune where you're going to hit. So it's not like Peggle where you have, you know, the line. It does show the line and where it's going to land, where your ball's going to hit and everything. But even when you just barely tap the D-pad, it's still going to move a good chunk of space. So it's a little more difficult to finely tune where you're going to land. One of the other quirks is that when the balls, not the balls, the Dolinks, it's their heads. And so it looks like balls to me. And I just keep thinking they fall like balls.
That and you love balls.
I like balls. I can't help myself. But when the Dolinks fall, if they hit you, it takes away points. But there are power ups. And there are stars that you can collect in each level.
That's what I liked about this game. Most games have 3-star ratings you could get on each stage. And it's like, score this much, score this much, score this much. In this one, you literally have to collect the 3 stars in each stage to get the 3 stars in each stage. I like that. I appreciate that. It gives me a reason to want to collect 3 stars in every stage. Because they're there. They fall and you gotta pick them up to get them. You could get the best score in the world, but if you miss a star, you're not getting 3.
Right. I don't know. I kind of had mixed feelings because I tend to be one of those people who goes for the crazy high scores. And I want to be rewarded for my goddamn score.
That's what the leaderboards are for.
But for as much as I was like, no, just give me my stars, I didn't mind once I realized that I had to collect them or I didn't get them. I was just like, oh, well, that was dumb of me. And then I just started, like, it worked its way into the routine and it was fine. There are additional power-ups, and the more you play through the game, the more power-ups there are available. You can start off pretty mundane and have, I can't remember the name of it again. I think it's just called the Smash. But basically, like, it makes your Doling, he kind of hulks out. He turns green.
Oh, yeah,
and he gets, like, big muscles. And you can move him back and forth to the point, like, it hits the ball with a little more oomph when you hit with that paddle instead of the normal, smaller pink one.
Yeah, there's a couple of different ones that you're able to morph into through the game.
Yeah.
You need power-ups.
You can get guns, and he'll have guns, and you can hit the button and it will automatically turn. Yeah, whatever ones that you hit with the bullets, they automatically get healed rather than having to just hit the same one over and over and over with the orbs. There's also a power up that occurs where you collect little thumbs up that fall down when you hit the Dolinks. You collect 10 of those. And you can show off. And then those will give you something like a color switch orb where it will move a big chunk of Dolinks. If you've got a group that are all the same color, you can hit them with that color switch and it will change them to the next color, the whole group to the next color so that you're a little closer to knocking them out. Or you can get the Thunderclap, which will knock out a large group of one color. So there's a lot of different ways to shake up the play as you're going through. You don't constantly feel like it's like, okay, hit the ball, knock it into the bricks and move on, if you will. It's just like there's different ways to approach each level.
It changes it up and keeps it fresh.
Yes. So I'm not mad at it at all. I want to know how some of those cheaters get where they do on the leaderboards, though.
There's some insane scores up there. All I could think of is that they get rid of huge chunks at once.
I get rid of huge chunks at once, and I think I was still coming in at like 10th and 11th on most levels, and I was just like, fuck you people.
Well, get good, scrub. But
I'll never be at the top of the leaderboard.
No, you won't. $7 on this one. What do you think of it?
This is an easy buy it. If you like old school Brick Breaker games. I've been complaining for a while that I wish there were more games like this, and so I was kind of tickled by it. It's not going to blow your mind. It's not anything amazing. It's just a simple sit back, put your feet up, and break bricks. But and they're dough links.
I agree, and I appreciate the whole puzzle bobble twist to it where you can make groups drop and clear the screen quicker. I just had a lot of fun with it. It was charming, it was cute, it was entertaining, and for $7, I think it's cheap enough to just grab it.
Right. Like, I sat down and I was like, oh, I'm just going to try this out. I don't have a lot of time. Then I'm like 2 hours later, I'm 80 levels in, and I'm like, the fuck am I doing?
Very true. That said, we got one more final game to talk about tonight called Zasmo Arcade Pack, developed and published by Donnelly Time Foundation, released August 3rd on Xbox One for $9.99. The Zasmo Arcade Pack is a collection of co-op, single-player, and competitive games inspired by arcade games we love. We took a few of our favorites and put the Donnelly Time Foundation spin on them. 5 arcade games with multiple modes and tons of fun for you. Cole, tell us about this one.
So, if you've played Boss 101, you're already going to be familiar with some of these games. These are the same mini games that were available. And this time, though, they've been beefed up. They've been given a little extra oomph. You can play cooperatively. You can local only, but you can play with a friend. You can play by yourself. You can play with AI. You can set all kinds of different parameters for these 5 games now, which has upsides and downs.
What are the ups? Let's start there.
The ups is that there's always a lot of variety for how you're going to play. You have, like I said, there's 5 different games. You have Tank Wars, Mazard, Breakdown, Last Stand, and Rob's Adventure. So each one of these games is its own little top. They're not connected in any kind of way. They're all based on classic retro games that you've probably played before. But you have the ability to switch up. For Breakdown, for example, you can play against the AI. You can decide how fast the bricks fall down. You can decide, you know, what happens when the meter fills up and how long your matches are going to last. There's a lot of options to change the way you play. You can then, you know, slow everything down and play against a human player and just see which one of you loses your minds before you break all your bricks first. If you want to go slow. My daughter was so mad at me. She was like, why is this so slow? Because mom needs a minute to get her bearings about her.
Oh, you.
And then I learn how she's playing, and then I'm like, okay, we can speed it up now. And then I just smash her because I'm a horrible parent.
Oh, God.
For Mazard, for example, you can change it so that there's more or less enemies, or they're more aggressive. If you're playing co-op, you can revive your friend if they die. That's helpful. My daughter died a lot, and I was always having to save her.
Oh, you make it sound like such a hassle. Ugh, I have someone to play with and entertain me.
It's not entertaining when I've got a carrier.
Would you rather have her or Jacob?
Number one. Number one doesn't throw rice. I raised her better than that.
Oh, boy. Anyway.
There are some headaches. I hate to say it. I hate Tank Wars. I hated it in Boss 101. I don't feel any differently about it now that it's taking up the whole screen. I still hate Tank Wars.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
The controls are just clunky. For that one. I mean, they're all a little off because of their retro-inspired nature, but there's just something about Tank Wars that's like, why don't you do what I ask you to do, please? Just once. They never do what you ask them to do. The tank is always going to shoot wrong. Like, I got the hang of it eventually when we were playing Boss 101, and then something went horribly awry between playing that, like, a month and a half, 2 months ago. and playing Tank Wars now where I'm just like, never mind, I can't even shoot one of these things. It's very weird.
Oh, Lord. Do you want to know my high score on Tank War?
Oh, Lord, what is your high score?
One.
What? Mine might only be two if I'm lucky.
I am so fucking bad at Tank War. It feels like the computer is magically amazing at everything they do, and I'm just farting around hoping to shoot once.
Like, when you played it in Boss 101, it was just a matter of hiding behind the walls until they come around and you could surprise them. But it feels like in this version, they have auto-aim and you're immediately dead. Like, bitch, we're playing Wanted and those bullets curve. And there is no hiding behind the wall. It does not matter. The walls are only there to keep you from shooting them, not the other way around.
Yeah.
So I wish I understood what I did wrong between the two games coming out within each other, or what they changed in that time when the two games came out. Because Tank War is, I didn't like it in the first place, and it's just ungodly awful now. It's so hard. But it's okay.
Because there's Breakdown four other games.
It. Right. Breakdown makes it worth it. Last Stand, you have a ship, and there are alien ships trying to take the crystals in the middle of the map, and you just got to protect the crystals. That one's a lot of fun. You can play it with a friend. If they get fucked, you can go save their deadbeat asses. Just save your crystals. Mazard, you're in a maze. There's aliens. Shoot the aliens. Don't die. Save your friend when they die.
Which I don't have again. I like how you just do it after everyone. Save your friend. Because I have them and you don't, sucker.
It's more like, no, my daughter keeps dying and I have to keep saving her.
potato, tomato.
We don't call it tomato here. We call it a mater. But in reality, it is really, really good. I had a lot of fun with it. There does seem to be some drama surrounding it, this game.
What do you mean?
And I have
missed this drama that you speak
so,
of.
So, when reviewers got our codes a little early, played the game. It's a lot of fun. And I stand by that. Even still, it's a lot of fun to play. But the achievements were cumulative. You didn't have to kill 100 tanks in one go. Kill one tank 100 times and still get the achievement.
Mm-hmm.
It appears that with the update to make the game public, the achievement descriptions and requirements are different.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And a lot of people are very pissed because they've reviewed it on the premise that it's a fairly easy completion.
I was going to say the achievements felt very grindy and time consuming.
Even they were grindy, but doable.
Yeah.
And if they've been changed and are no longer cumulative, and I did not get a chance, I had the update before we went live, but I had to pull number 3's tooth, so I didn't get to check it out. But if they've been changed, that's a very big problem for gameplay. Like, it does shift the game some.
Yeah,
and I would be very sad about that.
I'm looking at them now, and I think they actually retroactively changed them because I know I had more than one achievement in this game.
Yeah.
That is very odd. I am not a fan of that.
Yeah. So it does affect my overall review if that is the case, because for as fun as it is, and I hate to give a game a bad review based on achievements, and that's why I keep saying it's fun. And if you're not going to care about the achievements and you just want some retro gaming experience, this is by all means a grab it and have fun with it and enjoy it. But if you're looking for that easy completion, you might have got shafted.
Yeah, this ain't it anymore.
And that's a big problem. I've heard of games having the achievements changed after launch, but it's typically to like clean up something that was a mistake. Like, oh, we put 1,000 and it should have only been 100, or it should have been 1,000, but we made it 100. You know, that's a thing. But if these have just straight up been changed completely, that makes actually completing the game fucking impossible.
I will say, if it was done before the game released, we can't really hold that against them. If it was done after the game released, that's a whole different story. But, you know, for us, it's a privilege to play these games before they come out. There's no rule that we have to play these games before they release. So that achievement list could have, like, that may have been a mistake on their end. Like, oh, well, we didn't intend for that to be the achievement list. We had this as the achievement list. That's just an outdated one. We're going to release it and have the proper achievement list when it comes out.
Right. I know that there was a lot flying back and forth on Twitter over it, but I didn't have the time to read it. So I'm not sure what their take on it was. And I will full stop, full transparency. I'm not sure what they've said about it. I'm only aware that the achievements changed. So.
Yeah, I see that they changed, but I don't know the whole situation behind it. I didn't really follow it too in-depth, considering you were the one officially covering it.
Yeah.
I was kind of just doing like a little backup opinions here and there. But as far as my opinion, if they were changed before it released, that's all good. If they were changed after release, that might be a problem, but... Even still, it's a fun game, and based on the merits of what it is, for $10, I still give it a buy it. If there's one game you don't like in there, there's four others, and you're basically paying $2 a game.
And there's a lot to do with the games. You can play them a lot of different ways. You don't have to have a friend to play them. You're still going to have fun. So I do still give it a buy it. I had such a good time playing these games. I have been looking forward to this because when Boss 101 came out, I actually had the pleasure of being in a chat with Donnelly Time Foundation. And I was like, oh, it's a shame that the mini games aren't their own standalone. And they were like, actually,
they
are, and they're coming to Xbox soon. And I never thought it'd be that fast. I never thought that they'd be that fleshed out, that there'd be so much extra added to them. So, I mean, I'm really happy with what we got. The achievement fiasco is a mess.
Well, if we get any definitive information on what happened with the achievements, we'll be sure to follow up and let people know.
Yep.
But yeah, other than that, that's it for the reviews, and that is it for this episode.
Dun, dun, dun!
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Music this episode, The Grammar Club just released a new album, so we're going to play a couple of tracks off of that. Make sure to check out the link in the show notes and go grab the new album. It's really good. But yeah.
Yay.
Yay. Cole, you got any final words to end it?
No, I've been up since 5 a.m. I'm tired.
Hola, como estas? It's Beefy from Grammar Club. They got me chained in the lab because they can't get enough. The blood I bleed on an MP3, I do it for love. And I don't even really think I need a second lung. I made a deal with the devil, you know it's ironclad. I flaunt my riches above you like I was Iron Man. Pop like Peter Parker, your head put into a locker. You're thinking that you're the Venom, but basically you're the Shock. Man is man and a Titan, the superpowers colliding. The screaming and they're all frightened, I'm actually kind of excited. Absolutely delighted and everybody is fighting. And just about to get right and I'm about to call in the lightning like boom bam. Prep the casualties for evac. Middle of a massacre, exactly where I be at. Feedback, baby, baby, I don't need that. Turn the rainforest, be like where them trees at. So pretty, just like I am so fitted. Got a cybernetic gun, then you know that I'm gon' get it. I've been here a hot minute, so old that I might quit it. Got a cup full of unicorn blood and a slow sip it. I'm a beefcake, important like a speed race. I'm keeping a straight face while she running third base. I'm staring in deep space for something to take place. So empty your suitcase, get ready for mind games. Mystery unraveling like finding a G-spot. Frankly, ain't nobody got it better than we got. Fully numb, skull rock, steady and bebop. Saving me like Brooklyn 99 and the Peacock. The sweet spot is whenever I'm within earshot. Mix of X and Eric cause I'm bringing the onslaught. Running with a crew of maniacs in a crackpot. And isn't that the dude that got caught kissing the mascot? I ain't judging, homie, do what you do. Just keep in mind you gotta dry clean that thing when you're through. And if you're not a garbage person, you can hang with the crew. Y'all right? He's a shit prick, ain't talking to you. They think it's funny that they tricked a bunch of people into voting for a puppet that was purely fucking evil, while the ones that perpetrated it were also being used by the Kremlin and Cambridge Analytica reviews. U.S. dropped off, two-star, decorate, rise up, kick them out, investigation, prison state, civil war, never that, democracy, liberate, come together, join a hand, vote them out, and dominate. And while you're at it, maybe chill with the guns, and while you're in there, maybe you can stop warring with drugs and treating every single dark-skinned person as thugs, and I can promise I'll go back to comic books, man, I'm done. JKBTW, I'm dope, suspect was a fan, so what's your favorite fat joke? I'm just being factual, if you just
a full stop. Meet a nice chubby young boy at a GameStop. 10 years later, holding hands, watching Ragnarok. And he better follow through when he says things. Bet that he can still work a job while he chases dreams. Make sure that he's a good match for my kidneys. Trust your parents, kids, cause they all did the same things. Yeah, I'm almost done. Thanks for joining me this evening. Hope that you had fun. And if you don't, my sweaty beefy, you gon' get these hugs. And after nights like this, yo, I'm in love with everyone. Best in the world, I'm so special. Greatest damn rapper, I got 3 gold medals. Let your heart be free. If the state won't let you, unrelated, I could really use a food court pretzel. Like, legit, that'd be tasty.
Welcome to the lair of the necromancer.
Hey!
What brings you to my depths?
I want to bring someone back.
A long lost love?
Well, he's probably not as close as you would expect. But ever since he went away, could get any rest. See, my hair's falling out, and to be honest, I'm stressed. Not hexed, but there's no way he deserved to be X'd. Only crime that he committed, he was no longer fresh. Excitement filled the street when he rolled in on his one wheel. So chill, for a minute, he was a big deal. I'm not looking for a zombie or a Frankenstein. I'm just hoping you can help out with a friend of mine. So, Mr. Necromancer, if you could, please bring back that rolling happy old meme froggy dude.
Up inside, it's crazy. All your friends say, I don't know what's going on. Going on. Hide your girlfriends, hide your wife. There's a holocenaria on your lawn. Come, he'll arise and fill his lungs and go to get. Get on the field, baby.
fed on carp and carpal tunnel syndrome. No carpe diem, waste days cause life's dumb. Grow out your tum-tum like a war drum. Stay hot until you die, and when you die, die young. Live the lie, lie young, fake it till you fucked it. Buy a truck, buy the farm, uppercut the bucket. Esoteric sojourn of fortune, keep their mouths open. Pull from a deep cut, sipping sweet hemoglobin. And if the sheet's soaking, maybe wring it out. And if you're feeling viral, cover your damn mouth and your nose too. It's like I told you, I'm celestial, so is my whole crew. Dance soda jerks need to get their air pumps checked. My meningitis be a pain up in the neck. A rack to trash fire an effigy to a hater. Garbage hot enough to burn down the incinerator.
I think that someday I'll finally get started. This track is okay. I like this hot garbage. I like this hot garbage. I like this hot garbage. I like this hot garbage.